How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 9 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Head to normantranscript.com to get all your Thunder coverage. You can find my blog there. That's Thunder Road under the sports tab on the site. And today, well, not just today, all week, it's Kevin Durant week. Remember, I'm talking KD every single weekday, the Thunder every weekday of every week. You can find the podcast subscribing to Locked On Thunder on iTunes. You can check it out on our audioboom.com page as well, whatever's easier for you. So, more Kevin Durant, let's get to it. Reggie Miller wrote a piece over at Bleacher Report on Wednesday. I think it's worth a read. That's whether you agree with it or not. I tweeted it out Wednesday. You can find it on my Twitter page, at Fred Katz. You can Google it, too, in case you don't want to dig through just a sea of Twitter puns that is my timeline. Anyway, in it, Miller writes, KD shouldn't have left Oklahoma City, and he refers to his legacy as the reason. Here's a passage from the piece I think sums it up best. Here it is. Durant would have been a god if he stayed in Oklahoma City. People always say to me, I'm so glad you stayed with us, that I stayed for 17 years with a small market Pacers team in Indiana. That's in journalism what we call a nut graph. The paragraph or the sentence or the couple of sentences that basically sums up the premise of a piece. He later talks about how he didn't want to join the greats of his time, Patrick Ewing or Jordan, like obviously KD did with the Warriors and joining on with Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry. He implies that Durant could have done the same. Here's kind of another piece which you could honestly refer to as the nut graph as well. Quote, and to me, that's a true legacy. It would obviously be great to have both, your kingdom and untarnished legacy, but there are only so many people who enjoy that luxury. Miller's a successful guy. He was an awesome player. Like, really, he was, like, really amazing. Unbelievable shooter. Just in honestly, for all the arguments that numbers people versus eye test people have about clutch, Reggie Miller is really helping the eye test people and the people who argue for the clutch gene because he was awesome. If there was a big shot, I would feel so comfortable with Reggie Miller taking that shot. And he's turned that into a successful broadcast career too. And I've seen this argument come from other places too. So I don't want to seem like I'm just picking on Reggie Miller because I'm not. He's just the most obvious example that I can use from today's news. We have to realize the hypocrisy in statements like these, though. We have to realize that in a group that consistently says the phrase, you can't worry about things out of your control, there's hypocrisy there. That's what it comes down to. You can't worry about things out of your control. I promise you, Reggie Miller's opinion of Kevin Durant is something that is out of Kevin Durant's control. We want guys not to worry about what's out of their control, yet we want them to worry about their legacy too. And I promise again, just like Reggie's opinion of KD, Durant's legacy, whatever that is, it's out of his control completely. And that's our arbitrary definition of legacy too. Some say KD's legacy would be better if he won rings in Golden State. Some say his legacy would be better if he stayed with one team forever. Maybe something else would be better for his legacy. Either way, there's no firm definition. It's beyond opinion. It's total abstraction. It's picking out the pieces we think fit, placing them together without any regard for whether the puzzle worked in the end or not. You can't worry about things out of your control, but you must worry and make decisions based on your legacy. Why are people not realizing the hypocrisy in this? Look, Thunder fans have every right to be upset. Thunder fans embraced Durant. They loved him. He embraced the city. He was the best professional athlete in the history of the state. He gave the fans every reason to love him. And then he bolted, and it was unexpected. And the unexpected thing that upsets you was always more painful in every aspect of it, obviously including sports, than the thing that you brace for. There's no question about that. And because of that, Thunder fans really do have every right to be upset. And everyone, Thunder fans or not, has the right to feel the way they feel about anything. Emotions make sports, and emotions aren't necessarily rational. In fact, they're often not. And being a fan of a group of guys or women that you don't know and have never met and have no personal connection to and yet have this emotional attachment to is inherently irrational. Sports fandom is completely irrational, but it's also part of what makes sports great. But I'm talking about the arguments, not the feelings or the emotions. I'm talking about the people trying to add supposed logic to back up their thoughts on Durant's legacy. And in that sense, character assassination isn't the right way to play this. It rarely is. Neither's discussing a guy's legacy like he has any choice in the matter, like it has any validity to it. And Miller's not the only one. Look at Charles Barkley, who went on ESPN Wednesday and said, quote, Kevin Durant is trying to cheat his way to a championship. Charles Barkley said that. Charles Barkley said that. The same dude who played himself out of Philly to go to Phoenix. The same dude who went to Houston to play with Clyde and Hakeem. And yeah, I've seen the quotes, the ones from when he went to Houston in 96, I should say, when he said he was a good player then, he wasn't great. But I'm calling BS on that. Dude was still 30, he was only 32. He averaged 23 and 12 his last year in Phoenix. Like, come on, let's be smarter about this. I don't know what this fascination we have with legacy is and why we're so obsessed with writing one halfway through a guy's career. It's like a book reviewer writing up War and Peace after stopping on page 75. Why are we in such a rush? We talk about someone's legacy. Great, let's talk about history. Like, if you want to talk about legacy, there is so much history out there. Most of time is history. The present is like a split second. It's less than a split second. It's such a small amount of time. Our minds can't even comprehend it. Then it's away. Why are we turning it into history before it's even over? Just let it breathe. Let it develop. We'll know where Durant stands when it's all said and done. We're going to see it. Yet we're trying to write a legacy now. We're so impatient. We're trying to tell Durant what would have been right for him based on our personal definition of what his legacy would be when we're projecting the legacy. It's ridiculous. It's completely and utterly absurd. Only worry about things in your control. Who would disagree with that? Whoever disagrees with that? It's in the Hall of Fame of athlete cliches. Don't worry about things out of your control. Your legacy, especially when you're 27 years old, is not in your control. Don't fret about the rest. Okay, now I'm just sitting alone and I got myself all riled up, but I'm gonna take a couple of Twitter questions and I'll get out of here. From at BlackDolphin5, anyone the Thunder is looking for in their cap space or trades, they've been boring this offseason. We have very different definitions of boring, I'll tell you that much. I don't think anything about this offseason has been boring, especially with the Thunder. But I guess they haven't made any big signings. The Thunder notoriously do not bring in free agents. I don't know if it's something that definitely won't happen or will happen right now because there aren't a ton of guys left, but I do think there are a few guys that they could go after. I have a post on that on normantranscript.com on Thunder Road. That's normantranscript.com/sports/Thunder Road. Log on to the website. You can find it there. Just going over a couple of free agents, or five free agents really, that were available at the time when I wrote it. Now Langston Galloway, who I had in there, is off the board. According to ESPN's Mark Stein, he signed with the Pacers on Wednesday. Actually, he signed about 5 minutes after that article posted. So that was great timing. Anyway, there are still a couple of guys who are left. Alan Crabb is a guy who I think would be a really good fit for them. I've talked about him on the podcast and in that article as well. He's a shooter. The Thunder needs shooting. That's the thing. This first unit, I mean, it's still a talented group. It still looks like it would be a playoff roster. But at the same time, this first unit, it doesn't have shooting. I mean, they have below average shooting at pretty much every position in their projected starting unit right now. Unless, of course, they start Ilyasova at the four, which I think would be the case, just so that they can get better three-point shooting from there. Crabb could help with that. And he's a capable enough defender. He would cost a lot of money. He's restricted, so you're going to have to tie up money there. But at the same time, I think he would be a good fit, and he's still young. He's 23, 24 years old. He's a guy who fits the Thunder's timeline. He's a good guy to go after. Mo Harkless, similarly, 23 years old. He's a versatile player. He can play the three. He can play the four. They could make a run after him. Obviously, retaining Deion Waiters is an absolute possibility, but I've said on Twitter a bunch of times, and I think I've wrote. I might have said it in the podcast also. I mean, Waiters is the type of guy who I think will go late into the free agency period. That's the type of restricted free agent he is. I wouldn't be surprised if he went in another few weeks and was one of the last free agents to sign. I tried to gauge his market with guys around the league, and the most popular number I got for him was something in like the $50 million range over 4 years or so, which is about Eric Gordon money, Tyler Johnson money, something around that range for kind of an instant offense Waiters type of guy. Not as much as Eunice, I think, would be interesting. Power forward from Houston. The Rockets tried to trade him to Detroit in the middle of the season. The trade actually got got halted and then got pulled back because Marinus failed his physical. It had gone through. It was a really awkward and strange situation, but he's a free agent now and coming off a really tough year for him, but he's still just 25 years old. He was productive only a couple of years ago. He was productive. He's only had one real down year. He's a capable three-point shooter. He can at least step out there at the four. He can fight for rebounds. I mean, there are things that he does well, and the Thunder have really good internal development people. I think it's possible that they could kind of try to sign him as a reclamation project, and maybe he's not the player he was 2 years ago. Maybe he's not that good, but maybe they could turn him into a rotation player, and he's also someone young who fits their timeline. You don't have to go sign somebody also. I mean, look, if the Thunder want to play at championship or bust and they don't think this is a championship roster, they can take in a bigger contract or something. They have the cap space. They can take in somebody else's big contract and take on assets. You know, maybe somebody wants to unload a big contract and is willing to give up picks to have somebody take it, or willing to give up a young piece or two to have somebody take it. And the Thunder could be that team that could swoop in and take maybe an unwanted contract that, you know, is around for another year or two, but then get picks. Maybe that won't be the case this year. Maybe it'll be harder to do because with the cap going up so much, there aren't really any contracts that were signed before this year that are going to be considered bad contracts right now because the cap is so crazy. But at the same time, that's a way the Thunder could try to play it if they think that's a possibility. Next question from @mhaggard. What does Presti have to do to get high-profile free agents to sign in Oklahoma City? I don't know what the Thunder can do that they haven't already done, to be honest. I think the Thunder have established themselves as an organization that has one of the better cultures in the league. Now, how much that culture has to do with Kevin Durant is honestly a question I don't know the answer to. It could have a lot to do with it. It might not. Culture might just be one of those buzzwords we use. At the same time, I think the Thunder do have some hand in it. I mean, I've talked about this as well in previous articles that I've written, but, you know, the Thunder go above and beyond for players, more so than any other organization. Like, I think the best example of it is when they gave Clay Bennett's office in the practice facility. We're talking about the owner, Clay Bennett. They gave his office to Enes Kanter when Enes Kanter wanted a place to pray in the practice facility. I mean, this is an organization that goes above and beyond for its players, and that's a very calculated and intentional move. It's not because they're a bunch of nice guys, and maybe they are, but that's not the reason they're doing it. The reason they're doing it is because they realize that's their main attraction. You know, Pau Gasol didn't want to come to Oklahoma City, and it was because of the city. He wanted to be in Chicago. NBA players like going to bigger markets, and it's not just necessarily because of market size. You know, Pau Gasol is a guy who wanted more things to do in the city. It's not necessarily just marketability. So I don't know if players, especially just because of the reputation of Oklahoma City, I don't even think it's necessarily the city. I think it's more just the reputation. Players aren't necessarily coming to Oklahoma City. And Oklahoma City is not the only place in the league that has that problem. There are other small market teams that have that problem. It's not unique to the Thunder. But it is a problem, and I think that's the way the Thunder deal with it. They have some extra cap space. They can overpay. It's what some small market teams do. We saw, you know, Charlotte, for example, got a free agent because they got Al Jefferson. They paid Al Jefferson more than Al Jefferson's market value was to come to Charlotte. It worked out. He made third team NBA once while he was there. He left. He opted out of a contract, left after a couple of years. But he made third team NBA while he was there. Helped him to a playoff spot during his first year. I mean, that signing, I think, worked out well, even though they, at the time, thought what was an overpay for him. The Thunder could play that. I don't think that's in their DNA. I don't think that's in their character. Sam Presti's not a rash guy. He's very calculated. He's a guy who likes searching for value most of the time and making value trades, and I just don't see that in their character as a move that they would make. But at the same time, maybe philosophies change. Look, it's a lot easier to play conservatively when you have Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook on your roster. And when you lose one of those guys, maybe philosophies change. You know, desperation can breed change philosophies and changed ethics. And maybe that changes. But we just haven't seen any signs yet that it will. before we head out, remember you can head on to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast there. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter, like I said before, at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs and check out Thunder Road to follow Durant coverage. What's next for the Thunder? What's next for Westbrook? Everything else. That's going to do it for today. Until next time, Locked On Thunder is locking up.